at 6:30 p.m.
Hi, this is John Schuck, host of Progressive Spirit. This week I speak with Dr. Aisha Juman about the humanitarian crisis in Yemen.
You know, what is sad for me as a Yemeni American, it's heartbreaking for me when I go to Yemen. And what the people see, they say without the U.S. support, the Saudi cannot conduct this war. So they consider this war an American war.
Listen to weekly podcasts on KBOO.fm/progressive spirit.
KBOO Portland.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host this evening, and our topic is Amazon Workers Unite. And we have here with us tonight two Amazon warehouse workers whose names will be withheld to protect them from management retaliation, and their voices will be distorted. Ha ha. So let's just start out with an overview here. Amazon is the largest e-commerce marketplace in the world. Amazon.com was founded by Jeff Bezos in 1994 and started as an online bookstore, but later diversified into selling video downloads and streaming, MP3 downloads and streaming, audiobook downloads and streaming, software, video games, electronics, apparel, furniture, food, toys, jewelry. And in 2015, Amazon surpassed Walmart as the most valuable retailer in the United States. Amazon is the third most valuable public company in the United States behind Apple and Microsoft, and the largest internet company in the world after Walmart, the second largest employer in the United States. And Amazon is also it has something around 300,000 workers, 300,000 employees.
Yeah.
Amazon is also a key logistics company that is a critical link in the global assembly line. So why don't you two tell our listeners what about the key role of Amazon warehouse workers play in the U.S. and global economy, and the significance of Amazon workers organizing across the country and around the world?
I think it's extremely important for Amazon workers to get organized, get unionized early on. Amazon works diligently to suppress unions, and we need to set an example early on. We need to get concessions from them, win victories, and set an example for other warehouses to follow. There's no way that they can outsource most of these jobs, so we can have a huge impact by letting them know that we're not going to just accept the bare minimum that they can scrape off to us. We're not going to just accept crumbs. We need to get like-minded people together and set the bar for the workforce in America, because it's going to be the largest company in all those categories you mentioned in a very short matter of time.
Thank you, Jamie. I'll just add on the note of collecting crumbs that Amazon is not only the first $1 trillion company in existence, but they paid $0 in federal income taxes last year. As my colleague here mentioned, there are news articles coming out every other day on fellow Amazon workers nationally and internationally having to pee in bottles because they can't take bathroom breaks, being crushed by the pressure of speed up and the intensity of the work. I mean, this isn't unique to Amazon. Income and wealth inequality are massive issues all over the globe at this point. But Amazon has become a symbol of this problem. And people are rising up. They need to fight back. And I guess I just would like all the listeners to know that Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world because the rest of us are poor. Keyword because.
Do you want to say anything about the centrality of Amazon to the economy, or to, like, a lot of folks have been saying that you know, with the organizing of auto and steel industries in the mass production industries in the 30s were like key to workers' power in this country and building some kind of decent living for working class people, and that Amazon may be playing a similar role in this being like a choke point in the global assembly line. Either one of you want to say something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Amazon is in absolutely every major city in the U.S. and they're global. They're all throughout every continent. And we need to get the balance of power in check early on, because they are absolutely everywhere. They're shipping hundreds of thousands of packages per warehouse every day all across the United States and the world. So if we don't jump on top of this early on, then we're going to be fighting from behind the eight ball here soon.
There's close to, 200 Amazon plants across the country. And
so I just want to say the Amazon of 1994 looks a lot different than the Amazon of today. Amazon is much more than just an online retail store. They are systematically trying to take over every single market they can, from everything from grocery deliveries to, I don't know, controlling like 50% of the globe's cloud database, to selling books and creating book and mortar stores. But they're expanding everywhere that they can into the most giant conglomerate corporation there is. And I just want to say, you know, the majority of that workforce works within logistics and warehouses. Those type of workers disproportionately hold power in this economy. So if we're able to unionize, if we're able to win, the shockwaves will be massive.
And that workforce, even though the warehouses are often in suburbs or not in the center of the city because they require a lot of space, they also are close to cities and often are employing the folks that have been, the black and brown folks have been displaced out of the center of the city and are concentrations of what we call suburban poverty, I guess.
Absolutely. They specifically target low-income areas. They take advantage of people of color, immigrants, people well past retirement age. And they spin that as, oh, look at all these jobs that we're providing for these people who otherwise might not be employed or might struggle to be employed. But with the billions upon billions and now trillions of dollars that they're pulling in, it's less than a percentage point for them to give us a wage increase, health insurance that would change these people's lives. And there's absolutely no reasoning behind not providing a living wage and health insurance and better breaks and not having to have such a breakneck pace in the warehouse. They are just cutting every corner they can. They say they're the most customer-centric company in the world, well, that's at the expense of the worker. And we're fed up, and I know there's hundreds of thousands of people out there that feel the same exact way, so I look forward to being able to point to this interview to help rally some people to our cause.
Well, you mentioned a number of things that Amazon says about what they're doing for workers in the community, and I'd like to share a few quotes from the Amazon website. You can tell me what you think about these. We strive to be a great place to work, to create products and services that have a big impact on our customers and communities where they live. A company that creates thousands of good, well-paying jobs in communities across the country and around the world. At Amazon, we look for individuals at every level, in every role, who understand what we're trying to build and are excited to be part of it. We reward people well for their contributions, from the $15 minimum wage to comprehensive health care on day one, to provide the same generous benefits to our hourly employees as we do our most senior executives. Amazon has many warehouses in low-income areas, providing vital jobs to these communities. The workers are respected, valued, and the leadership team prioritizes serving our associates and removing barriers from their work environment. Safety is our top priority, and we commit to providing a safe, fun work environment. So, yeah, this is what the company website said. Is it true?
It's BS. Plain and simple, this is propaganda and malarkey. Just to touch on a couple of things, the comprehensive health care on day one is not reserved for any and all employees. That's very specific to certain warehouses and certain employment levels. It's absolutely laughable that they say they offer the same generous benefits to hourly employees as they do to senior executives. That's safety being a top priority. Yeah, no, it is not. It is safety second, probably third, in my opinion. And care that they provide for anyone who's injured on the job or away from it is very, very minimal. The people there seem like they're not trained to do more than put a Band-Aid on you. And when you raise a concern, like I have and many of my fellow employees have, to management, they will... If you don't bring it up several times, you're never going to get anywhere with it. And even if you do finally get someone to pay attention to it, for example, there's at least two trucks a day that come into our warehouse that are only half filled and have a 2x4 holding at the halfway point in the back of the truck. And that is held in place by two plastic wall mounts that are glued to the wall. Now, they don't have any method to remove this 2x4 so you can get to the products in the truck other than to either donkey kick it or horse kick it until it breaks, or take a broken piece of 2x4 from the last one that you broke and using it like a crowbar to try to get leverage to snap it. Me and a fellow employee have brought this up to management time after time, and to this day, they say, oh no, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Yeah, we should definitely do something about that. They have done nothing, and it's completely unsafe.
If I'll just add to that, the $15 raise is a topic of conversation that has come up again and again in the last few months, and there is no coworker I've talked to who believes that is because Jeff Bezos and Amazon want to be the industry leaders. That decision was made because of pressure from Bernie Sanders and because of people like us organizing. If I can just add on to that, for many of us, that $15 raise is not a raise at all. My food stamps contribution from public aid went from $190 a month to $44. So the net result of what my paychecks are versus that cut is a negative. I'll just add on to that, that safety is not first. There are repetitive motion injuries happening all over the warehouse. We have coworkers who have to wear wrist braces because of the same repetitive motions over and over again, that they're going home and having to ice their wrists and their feet. And AmCare, Amazon's in-house quote-unquote medical service, a woman who I was working with a few nights ago felt dizzy. She almost passed out and hit the floor. I took her to AmCare, and they told her to get back out within 5 minutes. They didn't care at all. So I don't think there's any interest in wanting to be the industry leaders. Personally, I feel as if we're treated like robots. We are interchangeable parts, just like any machine there.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I've got tendonitis in my right arm. I've thrown out my back at least twice because I was placed in a role where there should be two people doing the job from one side, from both sides of the conveyor belt, but they try to run a skeleton crew as much as they can. So they say, oh, you can handle all four of these sections. You can do both of them. So I'm reaching, I'm extending across the belt to try to do my job properly without the second person there. And once my back was out, they said, well, we don't want you to go see a regular doctor. Before you go see a regular doctor, if you feel like you need a doctor, see our doctor, because you don't want to have to go see them, a different doctor, and have them limit your work. Then you won't be able to work as much. It was clear as day that they just wanted to keep everything in-house as much as possible. All they did for me was spray me with Biofreeze and put an ice pack on me for the first 15 minutes of my shift, and then sent me right back out there. And I'm a young man, relatively speaking, and I can't imagine what these people who are 65, 75 years old doing the same work I am, walking on these concrete floors that just, at the end of the day, your feet are in agony. And yeah, wrist braces, arm braces. You look around the warehouse and every other person has got an ailment, or you can see them in pain on their break trying to stretch their back, and it's absurd.
So if you just tuned in, this is KBOO Portland Labor Radio. We're talking Amazon Workers Unite. We have two Amazon warehouse workers with us. I'm Jamie Partridge. And so what are the main problems? You've mentioned a bunch of them already that we haven't touched on, and what are you doing to try to change them?
There's a ton of issues. I mean, it depends on who you ask. So one of the major ones for me is the constant surveillance all the time. We are monitored. Everything that we do, everything is timed. Our rates are put on a digital board for everyone to see. I mean, it's pretty obvious that they're creating a culture of competition among us, which creates this frenzy to work harder and more with a workforce of people that have different levels of ability to actually follow through on this. A young person out of high school who is just on some sports team is probably in a very different place physically than someone who's elderly. So it is exhausting. It stretches us thin. But another one of the main issues is just being disrespected. Being talked to like you're an idiot. Being told to go do having some simple task explained to you for 5 minutes as if you can't understand it. Those are a few of the things that get me.
And things that we're trying to change, we're still very much building a team, but we want to have healthcare offered to all employees. They talk about healthcare on day one. That's nonsense. I've been there over a year, and after they blue badged me, got a shaky dental plan and vision. I don't need vision, and the dental plan is bare minimum, but no health insurance whatsoever. They offer a few hundred dollars that they disperse in tiny increments throughout the year, to that they say is to go towards our health insurance that we should get on our own. But it's not near enough for any kind of health care that I could ever hope to get.
I don't remember exactly what the quote said as far as Amazon providing good paying jobs, but as anyone who's working class in the Portland area knows, even $15 an hour is not a living wage. And it's definitely not when it's part-time and you're prevented from getting full-time hours.
So are there other major problems that are like widely felt or deeply felt that you want to mention before we move on to what you're trying to do about it?
The brake system. So 2 hours into our shift, we have a 15-minute break that if you work anywhere other than right by the very front of the building, it takes you at least 2 to 3 minutes to, and that's minimum, to walk all the way to the break room and then 2 to 3 minutes back. So you're looking at less than 10 minutes that you have a break. And if it flexes up an hour, then you feel it. You definitely feel it. I think we should have at least a half hour break there, and if we flex up, we should have a second smaller break before the final hour.
So tell us, each of you, how did you get involved with organizing to this project, organizing your coworkers?
I've been working at the warehouse for a while by now, and I'm exhausted. I'm sick of living under these conditions, working on them day to day. We talk amongst ourselves as coworkers. We talk on break, we talk before the shift, and you know, with a small exception, almost everyone there is beyond frustrated, so it is time to do something. We're taking these conversations and we are trying to make a plan and build a team to take action. Enough is enough.
Yeah, it's every break, before work, after work, we all have the same concerns and we're all griping, we're all commiserating together, and it's not long before you build pretty close relationships with people. Like, I don't want to compare it to war, but when you're in a foxhole with somebody and you're going through hell, then you build camaraderie real quick. So my main motivation, it's not just for myself, it's for these people, because I could go get another crappy job and I could go get a living anywhere, but a lot of these people are stuck in this situation and depending on it, and they're completely disenfranchised, and we need to work together. The only way we're going to be able to beat this is by working together and unionizing.
If I could just add one thing to that, as any of the listeners here know who've worked a union job before, without a union, your boss's management have 100% control over every part of your work life, your wages, your benefits, your conditions, your staffing levels, how fast you have to work. With a union, you have an opportunity to fight back. So we are explicitly using the word union because that is the vehicle to how we're going to improve our lives.
So do you want to talk a little bit about what's happened with the campaign? I know you're just getting going here in Portland, but other places are a little bit more advanced. Do you want to share some of that with folks?
Sure. So if you follow the news on Amazon, you'd probably have heard that in the last week, warehouse workers in Staten Island have made a public announcement that they have begun organizing. A New York Times article came out about Minneapolis, St. Paul area, Amazon workers also fighting back. I mean, it seems like every few days there is a news update somewhere in the country or internationally, because European workers have been on strike for Prime Day and for peak season of late. I think a number of years in a row at this point. So we are doing what we can locally, but we know that this is going to be a much bigger picture fight, and we are looking to connect with good people who want to fight all over the country and globe.
So what can community members do who want to be in solidarity with your organizing? I hear that it's pretty easy to get hired on at Amazon warehouses. Do you want more people to come to work at Amazon with you, or let you know about people who work at Amazon?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of people out there that if they're feeling like they could come in and help make a difference, we could use every little bit of help we can get. There's a lot of self-segregation in the break room and amongst employees that we need to break down the barriers to. And I think people of color, people of retirement age and older, immigrants, and just anybody that feels the passion to come in and make a difference. There's a lot of concessions that can be made by Amazon. They've got money coming out of their ears, and I think that we need to as much help and support as we can possibly get. It's real easy to get a job at Amazon, especially during peak season, which is now over, but they hire all throughout the year. And if you got a pulse, then you can get a job there. So come on down.
So how can our listeners keep in touch with your project, with Amazon workers who are organizing for better conditions?
If you're interested in getting involved, call the number 541-375-0805. Talk to a member of our team, you know, brainstorm some ideas, or, you know, directly try to get hired and come organize with us in the warehouse. Also, there's an email address, portlanddsalabor@gmail.com. That's portlanddsalabor@gmail.com. There is a lot of work to be done, and those of us who are on the front lines of this fight can use help from a number of different angles, from fundraising to recruitment of new people to come help us to research. Reach out. We look forward to talking to you.
Okay, that's again the number 541-375-0805, and that wraps it up for tonight's show. Thanks to our Amazon warehouse workers, who will remain unnamed. And tune in next week and every Monday night for Labor Radio, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Are you a fan of the independent film news and interviews on The Film Show? Well, you won't want to miss the new and expanded Words and Pictures, coming in 2019. That's right. The Film Show and Words and Pictures are coming together to fill the airwaves with the most creative happenings and fertile minds in screencraft, stagecraft, comics, and animation. So tune in to KBOO twice a month, 11:30 a.m. every second and fourth Thursday in 2019 and beyond, for the very best of the narrative arts on the new Words and Pictures.
KBOO is excited to be part of the 2018 Willamette Week Give Guide. This year, Willamette Week and KBOO are challenging our community to give with their dollars and take action by showing up in real life.
KABU has been showing up for over 50 years. Give to KABU today and you get full access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, Gluten Free Gem, Wii Press, and Nosa Familia Coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give or call 503-231-8032. Support KABU, where music makes the movement.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KABU, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Carpinelli, and we're also here with other Prison Pipeline hosts, Emma Lugo, Karen James, Isabella Sinclair. How y'all doing tonight?
Great. Happy holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Especially to the folks inside. Happy holidays. We love you.
Warm wishes to everyone out there.
Yeah, happy holidays, y'all. Thanks for taking time to tune in. If you are willing and